This morning we look at the Sermon on the Plain, which is really the twin of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. This is probably a sermon that Jesus preached multiple times as he traveled throughout Judea, as we see this repeated also in the Gospels. Here Jesus is talking about two states of being. One is this being in the state of blessing, and one being in a state of woe. And he pairs the two in order to give us a better understanding of what it means to be a child of God and to be a citizen of his kingdom. A state of blessing is God's goodness toward us. It means that we're on the path or on a trajectory toward blessing in the way we're going. A woe is that we're on the path or the trajectory now for doom if we are to continue along the same path. And so Jesus says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those when others hate you, exclude you, revile you, and spurn your name because of my name, the name of Jesus. But then he says, woe to the rich. Woe to those whose stomachs are full. Woe to those who laugh. Woe to those who are well spoken of, are treated like celebrities. And so Jesus calls those we would normally pity, blessed. And those people we would normally admire or treat as celebrities, as those who are on the path of destruction. The reason Jesus' words are so difficult to understand is because these words have the power to turn the world upside down, the way we view it. Or in this case, right side up. It's we who look at the world often in an upside down way. These words have a similar effect that his words have on us to question our own reality. That Jesus is here to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. Jesus says that the challenges we face now with him will grow into a blessing. And those things that we enjoy now without him selfishly will result in a woe. Actually, Jesus' words indicate might actually be miserable, lonely, and bankrupt on the outside, or on the inside, rather. Jesus' words have just as much of a perplexing impact today as they did probably when he first uttered them. You've heard the cliche, you can't buy happiness. But oh, how we try. With our behavior, our attitudes, the things that we value, we live as if our worldly pursuits will deliver us the happiness that we trust we want. And I think it is a judgment when God actually gives us what we want in our selfishness, in our selfish pursuits. When we get everything that we want, the notoriety, the wealth, whatever it may be, we've actually squandered away years of time and of effort, neglecting often the blessings that are all around us, that are hidden in the things that we suffer, and hidden in the poverty and the thirst and the hunger that Jesus is talking about. Woe to us, Lord, have mercy, if we're so obsessed with earning the almighty dollar, filling our stomachs, and laughing at things that are hurtful and harmful, trying to impress people, to make friends at all costs. Jesus says we're setting ourselves up for a life of superficiality and meaninglessness. We're denying ourselves the blessing that God wants to shower upon us. One day, Jesus says, we will wake up and realize just how impoverished and poor we are without him. The word woe here in the New Testament comes from the Hebrew oy. Maybe you have some Jewish friends. You've heard them say oy vey. It's actually probably closest to that onomatopoeic word in English, ouch, right? Or in Spanish, ay. It's a gut punch. Jesus is saying, oof, oof. It's a gut punch when he thinks about how we work and then live in our lives not out of compassion and empathy. He's grieving our misplaced values and priorities. It pains him. He grieves it when we sell ourselves and our lives so cheaply. This is the very definition of a false idol in our lives, when we give ourselves over to something or someone so completely that we believe the empty promises and lies that it will fill. But we should know the truth and the hunger and the thirst and the poverty that says, my heart will not find its rest until it finds its rest in you, O Lord. In the meantime, we're held captive and slave to whatever we're putting our energy into, these misplaced priorities, keeping us from seeing the blessings all around us, hidden in the things that seem inconvenient at the time. And so Jesus says, how blessed you are. What the world, the devil, and our sin means for evil, God means for good. He's going to work all things together for good for those who love him. God's teaching us and molding us into the people he wants us to be through those challenges and setbacks and even the suffering we experience. Just as Jesus says, blessed are those who suffer for my name's sake. It's through this poverty of body and soul that we learn contentment. And there's great gain to contentment, Scripture says. He wants us to look to him for provision. He wants us to strive first for the kingdom of God. And the promise is blessing. All these things will be given to us as well. But in the meantime, sometimes those blessings are hidden, just like they're hidden in the words, these challenging words of Jesus. God hides these blessings deep beneath some of the things that we suffer. Those around us will soon wonder how we can go through life's challenges and experiences and still have joy, because we have it deep down in our hearts by faith. How blessed you and I are when we hunger and we thirst for this. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. You'll remember what God told the people of Israel after spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness, suffering, being hungry, going through challenges. God says, he humbled you. I humbled you by letting you hunger, and I fed you with the manna, something that you did not understand nor your ancestors understood. Why? So that you would know that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And so you and I have come here this morning hungry for Christian fellowship, for loving community. We come here famished for a word of encouragement. We come here craving the body and blood, the bread and the wine. We will be filled, Jesus promises. Our cups will run over with the blessings that he wants to give. How blessed we are. What a blessing to feel godly sorrow for sin, and to receive complete forgiveness like we did at the beginning of the service. What a blessing to know that God sees all of our grief, our losses, and our deepest emotional wounds. And he also sees the hidden blessings in store for us, even in and through those sorrows. He promises to give us a peace that transcends all human comprehension. We may not understand it at the time, but God's blessing is just right around the corner. How blessed we are to know that God unconditionally loves us, accepts us, and even likes us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made in his likeness and remade in the waters of baptism. That is why Jesus wants you and me to feel the gut punch. The gut punch of living our lives unconsciously, not by faith. It knocks the wind out of the spirit when we continue down this road, because what we're really doing is denying ourselves God's blessings. Jesus wants us to feel that oi, that gut punch, not only for ourselves but for others, to look at the world with compassion, to see the world as Jesus did even from the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." To feel the gut punch of continuing down a road of harm and self-harm. But more importantly, Jesus wants us to see the blessings hidden beneath and behind and even in life's setbacks and sorrows and challenges. To see the riches of his kingdom poured out in you and through you to the world, revealing themselves not when we want them, but in his perfect timing. Just as we see Jesus, the crucified one, even in his resurrected body with those scars and those wounds, we see life in his suffering. So Jesus wants us to see life and blessing and promise in ours. So in the end, Jesus promises we will rejoice and leap for joy. In the name of Jesus, amen.